Good morning. Make your way to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This morning we speak on the testimony of the whole church. And so I'm thankful that that you're here this morning. Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But as for you, Titus, teach what accords to sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, gossips, or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. So I do have a correction from last week. I was trying to be spirit-led, and I said, if I get the verse wrong, it just came to my mind, and I said 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Even though that verse is awesome, it wasn't the verse that I was quoting. And so I want to make that correction right now. Let's just read it. It's a great verse. But I was talking about comparing and how unwise it is. But look at 2 Corinthians 10. It says, oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as those other men who tell us how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How stupid. Or ignorant. That's the verse I meant. So just correction. I love God's word and want to make sure it's quoted correctly. Okay, so back to our passage this morning. Paul writes this letter to the church in Crete. We saw in verse 5 of chapter 1 that he is to put things in order. And he began with the testimony of the elders, the pastors. They're one and the same. And these elder pastors are to be an example to those in the church and to anyone who would watch what it means to be changed by Jesus Christ. They ought to look different, these elders. This morning, we see that the whole church should look different. Remember a few weeks ago when I said how church hurt and help can hurt people? Or how it affects people? Maybe some of you are here today because of church hurt. Sometimes it is the pastors. And that's a sad thing. But sometimes it's all of us. The church can be a mess. Read 1 Corinthians. But we are the family that God put together, whether we like it or not. And the people of the church are the people that God chose to make us look more like Him every day. I'm going to steal a phrase that Pastor Dave Heisterkamp used at his church at Lakeside, he was asked, what's the responsibility of a believer in the church, followers of Jesus? What's our responsibility? And there's several things, but he said this. Here's the quote. He said, live your life, follower of Jesus Christ, live your life as a thank you back to God. Live your life as a thank you back to God. See, the character of the elders matters because they are examples. But the character of the church matters too. We are all called to disciple. Amen? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we're all called to disciple. So your example matters too. Our character matters. Why? Because no one will listen to you about your Jesus if they don't see any change in your life. What's the point? This morning, Paul is going to give instruction on what this character should look like. Of the changed life in Jesus Christ. So Paul begins this section in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. And the point of him saying this, as for you, Titus, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Remember the previous chapter, he just ended with the false teachers and their character. And their character is a reflection of what they believe about the gospel, which is they don't believe the gospel. And so they're not changed. But Paul says, Titus, this shouldn't be true about you. And you are to teach that if you profess to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then it ought to be reflected in your life. That's what sound doctrine teaches. I love if you parse the word teach, it's in the present imperative. Now, if you're an English teacher, what that means is that this is a continuous action. It's not just a one-and-done thing. It needs to be constantly reminded to us every single day. It's the job of the elders to be this example, but it's the job of the whole church to have God be working in your life and to live a life that's a thank you back. For what Jesus did for you. You can't have faith in Jesus Christ and not have God working in you. It just doesn't make sense. And it's not biblical. Remember, I asked all of us when we started this series in Titus, are you ready to be challenged? Well, buckle up. Let's start with the old guys. Because it starts with them. Now, I'm not exactly sure why Paul starts with the older men. But I would just say this. Maybe it's because older men, we need to step up. We don't need more get off my lawn kind of men. It's funny, but it's true. So who are these older men in the church? Some commentaries suggest these are men that maybe have older kids. Maybe they're out of the house, but their kids are still around. Maybe they're older. Some say, well, these are retired people. They're grandpas. I don't know. Heck, sometimes I feel like an older man. The range here is subjective, to be honest with you. So if you feel like you're an old man, listen up. Because eventually, men, you will be. So try working on it right now. Or should I say, allow God to work on you now. The idea of these older men is, though, that these men have lived a life. They have a lot of experience. They have a lot of wisdom to give to other people. Unfortunately, older men often become cranky, not approachable, homebodies, negative about life in general, because they've been scarred, and because, well, life sucks sometimes. But that shouldn't be our testimony. We need older men leading Bible studies. We need all men to step up spiritually. So let's look at their character. I haven't even started yet. Let's look at the character of these older men. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in steadfastness. So let's walk through these. Sober-minded. The idea here is that you're temperate. It can mean drinking, but likely just includes you being a very wise person, not in worldly standards, but in what God has taught you over your life. The idea is, the sober-minded, is that you've lived a life and you know the ups and downs of it. And you've learned not to get so worked up all the time. You're not easily panicked when the crap hits the fan. These are guys that you should want to call when things get tough, because they've gone through it. And they can give you godly wisdom. Are you one of those guys people are calling? If not, why? Are you unapproachable? Are you a cranky, get off my lawn kind of guy? Jesus says we are all to be disciples. This isn't just a pastor's job. We can give so much information about not only the successes of God working in our life, but also when we didn't follow him and how it ended up. This is the idea of being sober-minded. It goes on and says, dignified, think mature. They aren't worried about the views of what people think of them. Their identity is secure in what Jesus thinks of them. He is what matters. That's what dignified means. Self-controlled. Now, self-controlled, you're going to see this this character trait used not only for the older men, but the younger men and the younger women. The only group that doesn't need to be self-controlled are the older women. That's not true. I was waiting for an amen from you, son. But of course, you don't want to say you're the older woman. I got it. And I'm not going to tell you you're an older woman. But you will see self-control. Some of your translations say this person, the character trait is that they're sensible. That's the key. The character trait of a person that is being worked through by God, through Jesus Christ and the salvation, is this person becomes sensible. You ever heard the term, they have to grind the axe all the time? This is a person that doesn't have to grind the axe. He doesn't have his pet project that he brings up every 5 minutes. He can move on. He doesn't have to argue all the time. Why is this the case for older men and younger women? I don't know, but that's something that God is working through in our lives. The idea of self-control is you move past the idea of, I gotta have it. I gotta have it. The maturity is that it kind of loses its luster that you gotta have it. You start thinking bigger picture. not short-term gains. The idea of self-controlled is you're stable. You are not just like this all the time. It's like, what the heck is going on with them? This person is balanced in their mindset, in their character. This is what Jesus is working out. Does it mean you won't struggle with any of those things? It's the very same understanding of all the character traits of an elder. The idea is that God is working out these things. It's not about perfection. If it's about perfection, then we're all in trouble. It can't be about perfection, but it is about God doing a work in our lives. Is he? Older men, is he? So then we get into these sound, a sound in faith. The idea is these older men are spiritually healthy. They are someone to go to for biblical counsel. They will give you sound biblical advice. They are sound in love. Again, the idea of sound means healthy. So you're healthy in faith, but you're also healthy in love. The idea here is that you have a sacrificial servant heart to anybody and everybody. You are sound in your love for people because you replicate what Jesus has done in your life. Would you see yourself as someone who actually loves people? Then it goes on and says, sound in patience. Again, you're healthy in a patient lifestyle. You don't easily get panicked. You are calm under pressure. You are solid. That's the idea. So older men, we have work to do. But it is a work that Jesus will do if you surrender to him on a daily basis. This isn't an unattainable list. It is unattainable in your own flesh. This takes daily surrender. You know, remember what Paul said in his opening illustration. He said, listen, the idea here is that you're walking in faith, living a gospel-centered life, and having an eternal perspective. When this takes place, these things will grow in you. But to think these things are going to grow in you, older men, without the work of God in you, it's not going to happen. And unfortunately, your testimony will be hindered. And you will miss out on some of the greatest joy and peace you will find in doing what Jesus tells you to do. Let's move on to those old ladies. Verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not gossips or slanderers or slave to much wine. They are to teach what is good. So, who is an older woman? Well, again, it's subjective. Some people think their children are out of the house. Some people think that their children are just much older. Some people think they are retired older ladies, and some people think they're just older than younger people. So again, it is truly subjective on how you look at this. So you need to ask yourself, do you find yourself thinking, I'm one of these older women? Well, the first thing is, in your testimony of Jesus working in your heart, is that you will have a behavior that is reverent. What does that mean? Well, it's very similar to what the old men word is for dignified. So the idea is that you are a woman that is mature. You are a woman that can be trusted on to give reliable information from the Bible. And that's key. You may have a lot of information to give because you've been around, but your opinion means very little if it's not biblical. But I'll get back to you older ladies. You have such an important role in the church. The next one. Not a gossip. Now this is that dignity or that dignified, reverent behavior. This is what flushes out of this woman. This woman is not expressed by how much she talks. The idea is that you have tea, but it's to drink, not to spill. Maybe some of you older ladies don't know what that means. But tea is not a good thing. The tea to drink is. Tea is awesome, often used as a synonym for gossip. Their speech should not be loose. Because what these women say, people look up to you. Old woman, don't look down on how these younger ladies are raising their families. Because you did it perfectly, right? We have much, I should say we, older ladies have much to teach. But most women don't want to listen because it sounds like complaining. Invite a young lady for tea, but the kind you're going to drink, not spill. This is what an older woman should be. And by the way, you young ladies, I'll get to you here in a little bit. There are plenty of older women that want to talk to you, but you don't want to talk to them either. Because you already got it figured out too. This ought to be a team effort, amen? From our mistakes and from our successes of what God has done. And often it becomes a competition. About whether you use cloth diapers or baby diapers. Give me a break. I don't care what you feed your kids, as long as they're fed. That should be the attitude. Not addicted to alcohol. Why are the older women talked about this? I don't know. Doesn't tell me. So some of you ladies, but I got to think this. Here's what my thought is. They are the only group that talks about gossip. And I used to drink a lot. And I tell you, your lips get really loose when you start drinking. So maybe there's a comparison with the fact that you ought to not be gossiping, and maybe you're gossiping because you drink too much. The idea here is, what's controlling you? Are you only able to talk when you get a little wine in you? You have much to say, older women, and I hope it's biblical. Then it says, listen, when you get this opportunity, because of your dignified presence, your godly nature, your maturity in God's word, and the counsel that you're given, and the tea you're not spilling, that you begin to teach. And it says you teach and train what is good. And this is the positive sense for the older women. Older women are able to teach younger women good things. They have wisdom to share. They can be very helpful, young women, specifically regarding children and marriage. Young moms, are you willing to listen to these older ladies? Maybe, just maybe, they have something good to share with you. Would you give them that opportunity? Don't so easily push them aside as old-fashioned and not tech-savvy. Not crunchy enough. They have wisdom, and we need to hear from them. Often I can tell you, as I've talked to these older women, they feel like younger women just don't want to hear from them. Because they've already got it figured out. They got figured it out how to parent their kids, and they got it figured it out how to love their husbands. Maybe, maybe not. Listen to these ladies. Take them to coffee and listen. And don't talk. Listen to them. All right, let's get to the young women. So train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husband, that the word of God may not be reviled. Maybe not surprisingly, but you young women have the most character traits to work on. And all the men say, no. For whatever reason, the young ladies have the most character traits to address. Now, it could be a Crete problem. The island of Crete, maybe they weren't trained well. I don't know what it is. But for whatever reason in this church, the women have the most to address. So let's look. Love your husbands. You know, only in this place here in Titus chapter 2 verse 4 is the only place in Scripture where it says that the women are to love their husbands. But Paul tells the husbands to love your wives in chapter 5 of Ephesians. So there must be an issue with both. And yes, husbands, love your wives. You're commanded to do that. This is why Scripture is great, because all Scripture is inspired by God. So for whatever reason, Titus addresses the women, or Paul's addressing the women in Crete. Paul addresses the men in the church in Ephesus. And God's word addresses all of us. Praise the Lord. So love your husbands, Paul writes to Titus. Ladies, can I give you a little secret? You young ladies, men tend to be insecure. Shocker. Affirmation for men is a big deal. What does this look like to love your husbands? Can I just say, maybe just tell them, I love you? By the way, my wife does all these. How can I pray for you today? Is there anything I could do to make your life or day any easier? You know what he'll respond? I'm good. No, I'm good. But it's nice to be asked. We know stuff around the house needs to get done. We know the kids need this or that. The idea here is speak well of your husband. Love him. He is making you look more like Jesus. And that's kind of a big deal. Then it goes on and says, love your children. Why do the young women have to be told to love their children? Well, oftentimes the women are the nurturers of the children. And guess what, children? You can kind of be a pain in the butt sometimes. But we love you. And young women, you need to be reminded that these children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not a burden. They're not making your life miserable. They are a blessing, and they're making you look more like Jesus. I love that the mom is the nurturer often. You know, in wars, I read about this, that the great cries that you hear from the soldiers is for their moms. You are their teacher. You are the nurse. You are the counselor. You are the friend. And by God's grace, you can do them all. I know why the young women are getting a lot of these different things, because you have such a huge testimony in the church. Because you're raising up the next generation. What an awesome responsibility. And everyone in the church ought to pray for the moms. We see the word again, self-controlled, sensible. The idea is, young ladies, that you are to be balanced. You are to be stable. Not easily strayed into desires and impulses. I gotta have it. A mature, sensible young woman says, I don't have to have anything. What I need The idea here is that you begin to think big picture. You're not so interested in short-term gains either. You are stable and balanced. This is a work of Jesus in your life. Then it goes on and it adds pure, but the idea here is there are young women that not just are married. So this isn't a call to young women who are married to be pure or chaste. That would not make sense. There would be no more children. So the idea is this is for more single women. You ought to be a woman who is chaste. Pure. Then it goes on and says, a worker from home. Listen, the idea is, it isn't that a woman cannot work outside the home. Because I would encourage you to read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. This mom is no mouse. She's not subservient waitress to her family. She's not living beneath the shadow of her husband. This woman is powerful, industrious, resourceful, and she is fully engaged in her family's well-being. The idea here is that she is all in for her family. For God's glory. And it is a balanced testimony. In other words, if you're all in for your family that God has given you, and your work takes you from being what God has called you to be, then something's got to give. Something's got to give. You can argue it and say, well, I mean, why doesn't the husband do it? It doesn't say. So the idea isn't that you can't work from home. The idea is if you're working from away from home or outside the home, is that job taking you away from your family? That's a personal decision that your family has to walk through. But the testimony is that the husband and the wife and the family are working towards a testimony that honors God. Period. Moves on. I'll get emails about this one. Text me later. Kind is the next one. In other words, a young woman, you are to do what is good and beneficial. Kind. You're kind to people. And then lastly, submissive to her husband. Again, this testimony of these young women is that she respects the husband's role in the family. Now, husbands, have you earned that respect? Because you make it very difficult in this verse when you are not godly. This is not the idea of a woman has to do what I say. You've already missed the testimony of this. The idea of this submission to a husband is the young woman, as the husband is absolutely seeking the Lord, seeking godly counsel. God is working in his life. These are men that are easy to follow and easy to submit to. But it still takes a work of God in our lives. It's very difficult, any of these things, but young women, no doubt, I met with some of your husbands. It is very difficult when you have an ungodly husband. What a huge responsibility it is. And yet your testimony, as 1 Peter chapter 3 says, might win them by your actions. Let's get to the young men. Again, the young men, to be self-controlled. We got that word again. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works in your teaching, integrity, dignity, sound in speech, that cannot be condemned, so that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. The first one, again, is self-controlled. The idea is, as young men, you are a balanced individual. You are stable. You are not strayed from your desires or your impulses. You do not have the attitude of, I gotta have it. It begins to lose its luster. You think big picture and not short-term gains. You are stable and balanced. It's not just for the older men. So in verse 7 and 8, Paul's telling Titus, because some say Titus was actually a younger man. And so Titus is supposed to be the example to these younger men. He says, be an example of good works, Titus. The idea here is, young men, you ought to be busy doing stuff for people. You are young and you are full of energy. Use the energy for good. I'm not saying you can't play video games. But if you're spending more time on video games than with real people, you are disobedient. And God can't change you through Fortnite. Young men, put off foolish things. Get involved in people's life. You have the energy. I can't throw the football as far anymore. You throw it with the kids. I tried to throw a football yesterday, and doggone it. I was almost going to be on the 3-on-3 team in basketball this year. I may have screwed that up. I blame you, young men. You ought to have been playing football with those kids. Just kidding. Hours and hours on video games and your phones make you self-centered, disconnected with real people in a real world. You will not be able to talk to normal people. Young men, Jesus following young men, break the cycle of your generation. Put away foolish things. And by the way, it's unfortunate, but older men are acting like younger men in this issue too. So again, it's subjective. We ought to learn all these. So what can you do? Well, it says, be a studier of God's word. I mean, holy cow. You mean I don't just sit there and learn all the cool traits of my new app that I got, this game that's going to not help me in 20 years? How about be a studier of God's word? Looking to put on wisdom. Young men, get into a Bible study. You know, most of the Bible studies that I'm in, Sorry, guys, but we're all older men. I guess there's a few younger men, but I consider you older men too. Jake gave me the look. He's like, hey, wait a second. No, Jake, you're an old man. Be a studier of God's word. This should be the testimony of the young men. It also says they are to be dignified. Now, you might think that that's an old man thing. The idea is that these young men ought to be mature too. Young men can pursue this. It is really about an attitude, isn't it? Your attitude and thus your actions will either attract people to you or it will repel people away from you. And then lastly, sound in speech. The idea is, the word sound is the word hygienic. In other words, it's the opposite of what false teachers, how they speak. Their speech produces anger and division. The idea is the young men's speech should be hygienic. It ought to attract people to you. Because you're talking about what? Probably godly things. What God's teaching you. Who wouldn't want to listen to a young man who is talking about what Jesus is doing in their life? Anybody? This behavior, young men, leads to opportunities for you to share the gospel. And it is all of our responsibility. Okay, moving on. We're done. And yet, as the verse started in chapter 2, verse 1, we need to be constantly reminded of this every day. Is Jesus working in our lives? Why? Well, here's the application. The church's testimony matters. So what group are you part of? What group are you a part of that God is working in your life? Demonstrating your life and the grace that he is working in your life. Listen, each one of these areas of our lives, we need to surrender. We need to surrender and ask Jesus to help us, because apart from him, we can't do it. We ought to want to see, church, heaven crowded with people. But it starts with our testimony of being thankful ourselves. Are we living our lives as a thank you back? Paul's writing this to believers. If you do not have saving faith, these works, these character traits, they will not save you. You can be a high character person and going to hell. This letter is written to those who have faith in Jesus and it's working out in their lives. They are not working to get faith. If that's you today, you need to repent. You need to ask Jesus to save you from your sins. You need to turn to him for your forgiveness and place your trust in his finished work on the cross and resurrection. Be saved today. And let your life then become a thank you back. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, we went through a lot, and we pretty much covered every person in here that would claim to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, our testimony matters, and so we want you to be doing a work in us. As Romans 8 says, conforming us into the image of your Son. Lord, you have great work to do. Help us to be patient with each other as we are seeking to find and follow you. Be patient with every age group, for the church is still made of a bunch of sinners. God, help us to have grace for each other. Lord, as we go to the communion table, I pray that you would do business in our heart, that those of us who know you would see this as a reminder of your great work on the cross for our sins, and that we'd leave here with a new purpose and a new mission to glorify you wherever you would put us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. So at this time, you have an opportunity, follower of Jesus Christ, to come up, grab the elements, the bread and the juice that represents, the bread represents Jesus' perfect sinless life, a life you could not live. He became the perfect sacrifice for our sins. When you take that bread, you are reminded that you could not live a perfect life, and you confess your sin before a holy God. Then you hold that juice, and you're reminded that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. He had to die. And so we morbidly, in a sense, you rejoice because of his death and resurrection. We have hope. So we take these two elements, and as a believer in Christ, we are reminded of how grateful we are. Are you? This is not a table for those that don't know Jesus. But I would ask you, why don't you know him? Put your faith and trust in him today. Let's sing.